Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the mystical realm. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, gifted souls step up to the mic sharing their spiritual journey. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their awakening, creating a symphony of enlightenment. This isn't just another interview show. This is where divine insights are channeled and universal truths are revealed. So crank up your stereo and sit back, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next transformative chapter of your soul's purpose. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I'm so happy you all decided to join us. Have you ever traveled somewhere that you've never been before and it seems eerily familiar to you? How about this? Are you someone who keeps repeating the same life mistakes over and over again? Like getting into relationships where the other person ends up behaving like the person you just ended the relationship with? Well, maybe it's because your soul hasn't picked up the lesson from a past life. Today's guest just might be able to shed some light on that for us. We have the distinct pleasure of having Ms. Christine Osepian as our guest. Christine is a certified clinical hypnotherapist, holds a master's degree in psychology. She's an intuitive healer and a best-selling author, penning both Living Through Choice and Wisdom Unbounded. But there's still more. She's certified in past life regression therapy, NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, and about 14 other specialties. Without further ado, welcome Christine.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
Well, thanks for being our guest today. I'm very excited about it, especially after, as a lot of people know, I do pre-show phone calls, and our phone call was outstanding. So I really am excited about this for everyone. So today, what we're going to do, we're going to delve into the area of past life regression and specifically soul retrieval work. And with that is inner child work. It's kind of sprinkled in there as well. But I'm curious, can you tell everyone, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, and then let's have you describe what we're talking about when it relates to past life regression.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And of course, I cannot start this journey of talking about myself without talking about how I even got to this place, because the first question I always get asked from everybody is, how did you decide to do hypnotherapy? You did accounting for 10 years. And I said, it wasn't until I was in such an awful place, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, my health was deteriorating very rapidly, that I, even then, I didn't understand what what it was. I know now that it was psychosomatic symptoms, that my emotional state was literally getting my body physically sick. And so many people experience this and don't even realize. And that too can truly be linked to past lives as well. And it's such a big topic, past life regression. And not everybody believes in it. Not everybody's open to it, because a lot of times I would, you know, get clients that go, oh my God, that scares me. And I gently would just even ask clients, like, do you believe in past lives? And I hear more and more, like 16 years ago when I first started, and I would ask clients, they would be like, I don't know, what is that? That kind of scares me. But as time has gone on, our consciousness has definitely shifted, and there's more and more people now that realize there's more to us than just this physical world of what we know being human and the human physical form. So my truly journey started that way as well, as I got so sick and tired emotionally, mentally. I was just so drained and my body was truly falling apart. I was at my doctor's office every week with a different symptom. It got really bad, that I truly, at a young age of 30, I was thinking, if I have to do this job for the next 30 years, I'd rather not be here. And that truly scared me as well, because I was, not that I was, you know, suicidal or anything, but I was just like, if this is life, I don't want to be a part of it. Like, there has to be something more than this, right? So then, of course, to keep my story short, as I try to keep it short, but there's so many messages in there that are so important, of me driving to work, crying in the car and literally just praying to God, please save me from whatever this is, because I don't want to drop off my children at 6:30 in the morning at a daycare and pick them up at, like, you know, 6-7 o'clock at night. That I want to be in my children's lives. So I want to, you know, but my really, without realizing what I was doing, I was truly manifesting. Because I was asking for four things. I want to do what I love. I want to be of service to people. I want to be free to choose my own time, what I do, how I do, and when I do it. And I want to be abundant doing it. So I didn't realize that, but none of those four layers said, you're not doing accounting anymore and you're doing hypnotherapy. And at that time, when, you know, the market crashed and the layoffs started happening, I was one of those people. And I just knew, it was like, while it was so difficult to lose the one thing that I knew for so long, I also knew I never wanted to go back to it. So having said that, I was just like on this mission of prayer and surrender to God and prayer and surrender to God. And at that time, I was still studying for the CPA exam. But one night I went to sleep and it was just another night, and I had this profound dream. I was wearing a white coat. I had a golden badge with my name on it. And I looked from my feet up, which is really the process that we do with past life regression, whether we're going into past lives or, you know, channeling future lifetimes or the future in this lifetime. I literally processed that without even knowing that was a thing, right? That was a process. So I looked at myself and I said, oh my God, I know who I am. I remember who I am, actually. That was the message. And I woke up that morning and I took my computer, and I, being born and raised in a Christian household, like hypnotherapy, hypnosis, therapy, all of it was taboo. So I just took my computer and I typed in hypnotherapy. And of course, the one school that is HMI and was literally like within 10 miles from my home, that's been around, it's the one accredited school in the nation that has been around for, I think, now over 50 some years, because it was like 40 some years when I was there. And I literally, at that point, I was in such surrender that there was nothing else that I would rather do than to catapult myself into something that I'm being guided to. So that's why for me, it was like, of course, if I'm praying and I'm getting guidance, I better follow that guidance and not dismiss it. So I didn't dismiss it. And so I went and I saw a therapist, and we did 2 or 3 sessions together. And suddenly it was like my world was crystal clear. And I signed up for the school. I became a believer. I was like, if I could change that quickly, oh my God, this is it. And from the moment I entered, you know, the school and I started my master's in psychology, because I wanted to connect both science, and not that there's no science behind hypnotherapy, there's definitely science behind it, because it's the mind works the way the mind works, whether it's hypnosis or psychology, it's the same way. And so I started both programs at the same time. And oh, wow. I still remember because my kids, I know, because I was on such a mission. I now even think it was a blur for me. But one thing I do remember is that my classmates and my teachers were truly making fun of me because I would spend as many minutes and hours of the day that I possibly could in hypnotherapy school, because I walked in there and I was like, oh my God, I'm home. I'm finally home. I'm finally recognizing who I am and why my mind works so differently. Because for me, from a childhood, metaphysics, my aunts are very intuitive, and it's always the lineage comes from the mother's side.
Yes.
And my aunts were so intuitive. They would literally hold a coffee cup and they would literally just tell a person's past, present, and future. And I was fascinated with that always. And I knew myself as a kid, there were many things that didn't make sense to me, whether it was about religion or whatever else. And I was just, I felt lost, but found at the same time, like deep inside, I just knew there was only love, and love is the only truth that there is. But the world around me was showing me a completely different story, right? Fears and worries and limitations and doubts and all that stuff. So when I walked into that hypnotherapy school and it was like, oh my God, I'm home. And that's so cool. What it felt like until, funny enough, a year later when we were graduating, I was given that golden badge with my name on it. So it's in that dream. Yes. And I still have the badge, although I don't wear it because my clients don't need me to wear that badge with my name on it. But that was given to me. And I was like, oh my God, I saw this badge a year ago in my dream, which is why I'm such a believer of our dreams truly giving us messages, giving us guidance. And we work through a lot of deep stuff in our dreams. Even when my clients have resistance in sessions, I give them a specific exercise that helps them to release that resistance as they sleep through their dreams. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful journey. That's why the moment I start talking, I can't, for my conversation too, I can't stop talking because it changed my life. So how can I not share this wisdom, this information, this guidance, these tools to change others' lives? It would be a crime not to. I know. Well, thank you.
It's had such a profound impact on your life. So I completely understand as to why you get so energized when you talk about it. So there are a couple of things here, and you started to say, you were telling us about how you got into it, sort of, but was it due to a hypnotherapy session that you had that you were like, oh yeah, this is for me. That was it.
So I found the school first, and then I hired a graduate from the school because I was like, who else would know best? I mean, if I'm looking into the school, then I want to work with somebody that went to the school. And within three sessions, I really felt like a light bulb went off in my head. And funny enough that we're talking about past life regression today, because being from Christian, born and raised, past life regression was an additional certification program at our school. And I remember my soul was pulling me into it, but my head was like, nope, you're Christian. That stuff doesn't exist. One life only. And I literally had to go and research and did research. And I found out Christ spoke of reincarnation. And it wasn't until, if I'm not mistaken, 325 AD or something, that it was taken out of the conversation. So it's just all right, I'm good to go now. And I went and I signed up, and it was one of the best things that I ever did, because so much healing happens through past life regression that it's so transformative. And my clients have had, you know, sessions with me, one past life regression that healed severe back pain that was unexplained by, you know, the Western world, and severe headaches, because we don't realize that certain things we bring from there. There's even a lot of research and now done and proven that birthmarks Certain things we carry, moles we carry from our past lives to the present lifetime, because there's a wound there that needs to be addressed, but people don't really pay attention to it that way. They just think that, oh, it's just a birthmark, but it's a mole, there's definitely exactly. So we carry those from past lives. And, you know, those clients of mine whose, you know, headache went away and backache went away, it was because they were injured in a past life, in a war setting or in a fight setting. And yeah, they were harmed in that specific area of their life. And that's what caused the reoccurrence of that problem in this lifetime until they worked it out.
Yeah.
Until they addressed that life. Yeah.
I read that exact thing recently about the birthmarks or specific marks on your body that aren't from scars necessarily, but are just unexplained. Why is that there? It is connected to a past life and typically a wound that causes the death, whether that be on your neck or your head, some of the, and not to be gross or anything. Sometimes if somebody has a birthmark on their face, it's where a gunshot or something went in or what have you. But anyway, there was something that I picked up on your website, by the way, that was very intriguing to me. And it's, what is it called? Combo.
Yes.
Combo. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty interesting to me, because I started to to do a little research on it as far as what it's about. So you have a certification in that as well. Can you give everyone a very brief description? Because I do want to spend the bulk of our time in.
I'm going to try my best to give a short version of it. Well, combo is used in the tribes as a hunting medicine, because when you apply that medicine on, obviously you open gates. And I know this is the part where people go, what do you mean you're going to burn my skin off? But it really is just, with a tiny little incense, you just basically very quickly tap on the skin where it kind of like bubbles up, that just the first layer of your skin, there's no blood in there, nothing, as if you were to scrape your hand and that first layer of the skin comes off and you put the medicine on. It's such a powerful, beautiful, because
tell
it's
everyone
peptides.
What the medicine is.
Yeah, it's peptides. It comes from the jungle tree frog. And I even have, surprisingly, if I could find it here, one of my clients recently gave me a ring. Oh, I can't find it right now. I'm so, it's so beautiful. It's like literally that frog. It's the jungle tree frog. And it's so beautiful. And I wear it every time I serve the medicine, but it's a detox medicine, and it's peptides. And our body has peptides, and the peptides kick in, and you know, your blood pressure goes up and your blood pressure goes down. And through the process, there might be purging that happens. And you know, sometimes it also depends on how you apply the medicine, the gentle way, physical purging as well.
Oh, physical.
Emotional and physical. Yes. It depends also how you apply the medicine on. It could be, you know, if you do it more rapidly closer together, it would be, you know, there would be a physical purge that happens. If you do it more gently and put the, you know, medicine at like 7 minutes apart from each other, because average 5 to 7 minutes, you feel the movement of the energy and the medicine, and it goes into your lymph nodes and it cleanses, and it cleanses you ancestrally in a sense, seven generations back, seven generations forth. And my clients, although it's not a psychedelic medicine whatsoever, it's perfectly legal in the States. Yes, it's perfectly legal in the States. But my clients oftentimes would feel like, one of my clients, she would literally feel her ancestors present. Like when I was studying that medicine, it truly, it was beautiful to feel my grandmother's soul
That's fascinating.
With me during that process. So there's a lot of like opening that happens because you're basically cleaning clutter energetically, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Basically what it does is because it's the hunter's medicine, it clears your mind. You have such crystal clarity. It sharpens your vision because it is used as a hunting medicine. It positively suppresses your appetite, and even what you eat starts to change. Like if you had cravings of, you know, junk food before, now your body wants to eat more clean. So the detox happens. So if it doesn't happen physically, that you purge through the mouth, it happens, you know, the other way. So you release a lot of toxins from the body. And I've had so many of my clients, like, pain go away. One of my clients reported back, and again, I'm not a doctor. This is not a cure. We always need to say that. But so many of my clients reported back, like, their thyroid balancing and the doctors being surprised how that happened because, you know, medication wasn't really helping them. So there's a lot of, and this is just my clients reporting back to me what they have experienced after it. So,
no, yeah. That's awesome. And thank you for sharing that. It was, as soon as I saw it, I was like, what's that? And then, you know, gotta love Google, right? So I checked it out and was like, holy cow, we need to talk about that a little bit. So then let's go ahead and pivot into the past life regression. So when you do the past life regression, is that initiated through hypnosis then, right? Can you maybe explain to people what they may feel? Because, you know, I think a lot of times people will see something that's on a sitcom or something like that, a television show, and people are walking around quacking like ducks and things like that, or flamenco dancers, or you know, whatever. But you know, but can you maybe bring us through that a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, speaking of that, I watched my brother do the funniest things when I was 8 years old on stage. Hypnotized. So the the hypnotist. So that's not hypnotherapy. There's no therapy involved. There's no healing involved. That's just for entertainment purposes. But the hypnotist knows exactly who to choose. They give them suggestions. So the suggestion was, you will cross your fingers, and in about 5 minutes, when I speak back or count you back, you will not be able to open up your fingers. And he went and chose the people that could not open up the fingers. And that's how the hypnotist knows how suggestible those people are. They don't go and randomly pick their subjects. They know who they're picking because they already gave you the suggestion and they saw how easily hypnotizable you are. So it's just beautiful to watch. So I know sometimes people say, well, I'm not, I get this sometimes with my clients, especially my clients who are very left brain and logical, they're attorneys, they're doctors. They're like, well, Christine, you know, I'm not hypnotizable, but you know what? I'm here. We're having a great time talking. And I always tell them, it's not about me. It's not about my ego. I'm not here to prove anything to you. Let's give it a shot. And they are, that's why I love my skeptical clients and my clients who don't believe in it much. Are the most surprised afterwards, and they go, okay, what just happened? How did that happen? Well, what do you mean it's been 30 minutes? Like, what was the chair moving? Do you have a motor on the chair? I get the funniest questions afterwards. Oh, wait, I was seeing colors. I saw vibrations, and I saw this vision, and I saw that vision. And I'm like, and in the past,
they can recall it.
Yes, and they can recall it. Yes, because hypnosis is such a natural state. We all go through it every single day before we fall asleep. And every morning as we're waking up, that half hour is a sweet space where your mind, while going to sleep, it goes from beta mind, which majority of the people are basically stuck in the beta mind. And the beta mind is the angry, feel fearful, frustrated, stressed, anxious, all of that. And what hypnosis does helps us do is it basically what it does is brings the beta is 13 to 40 hertz, it brings your brain activity down. Just like if you're running and then you start relaxing and your heart rate goes from rapid to slow. It's basically what is happening in hypnosis is your brain and heart are synchronizing with one another. And this is what people don't understand when they're stressed, when they're anxious, when they're angry, when they're whatever, depressed, is because their brain is going 100 miles an hour. And what does the heart do? The heart wants to synchronize with the brain. And so both of them going together is what causes the anxiousness, the panics, the breathing, the loss of control, all of that. But nobody explains to people that way, which is why I love podcasts and I love working with my clients, because I always explain what is happening. And the moment they realize, oh, wait a minute, but maybe, just maybe, I have more control over this instead of letting my brain just to create havoc and chaos. Exactly. How about if I synchronize it with my heart? So that's really what truly hypnosis is bringing that activity down to a calm place of alpha and theta. And in past life regression is really we're tapping into the theta brainwave, because that's where basically all our wisdom is, past, present, and future. We have access to all that information. And the only thing that is necessary is for us to just surrender, let go, and trust in the process. Because the ego constantly wants to check in, right?
Sure.
Is this safe? Am I safe? Do I need to pull us out of it? Do I need to do this? Do I need to, because it's the guardian, right?
Or the
gatekeeper. Exactly. It's the gatekeeper. But anytime my clients are in tears and past life regression or laughing or joyful or feeling the love, that's not acting. That's very natural. In that moment, those emotions are showing us that that person is actually there, is actually experiencing that. So emotions are a very big part of past life regression as well.
So when somebody goes into this theta state or hypnotic state, and let's say that you bring them to a past life, and it was extremely painful. Do they relive the pain and actually feel it, or are they observers?
So that's when I tell my clients, right in hypnosis, I give them the option. I say you can either experience it in the body, watch it from above and as an observer, or watch it on a screen. And surprisingly, majority of the time, they don't opt out of being in the body. They want to experience
That's
it
wild.
And heal it and process it in the body. And I've seen many situations like that where one of them, my client had a best friend that they were like inseparable in this lifetime. And she was curious as to why do we have so much love for each other in this lifetime? And they were both females. And as we regressed her and she went back into a lifetime during war, where there were two males in that lifetime and they were at war. And at one point she started really being very distressed. And she was like, why is he on top of me? Is he trying to kill me? Why are his hands around his neck? And she was so distraught in that she's crying and she's trying to process. Gratefully, oftentimes what could happen is that I can visually feel and see what my client's situation is. And I already knew what the situation was. It was not a dangerous situation. Her friend there was not trying to kill her. She was not the enemy in that lifetime. And so I told her, I said, watch it from above, because what I was seeing is not what she was seeing, because she was in the body. What I was seeing was that she was wounded in the neck and she was bleeding because it hit her artery.
Okay.
And so her best friend was trying to stop the bleeding. In that chaotic, painful situation, you don't go, oh my God, I'm like a doctor. I know exactly what to do. So the moment she witnessed that, she just broke down and started crying. And she was like, oh my God, he's trying to save my life. But while that lifetime was not saved, they came back in this lifetime as two females, and their bond and their love for each other was just so profound and strong. It's like
soulmates.
That's
amazing. That really is. I wasn't sure where you were going with that. And then, holy cow. It's like, wow. So that's interesting. A couple of things that I picked up from that. Number one, that you were able to switch the point of view with your client right when it was happening. That's, I think that that is an important safety net or
absolutely
valve right
this
there.
Is why it's so important not to do it alone, because alone you need to have a guide so that if you get yourself in situations like this, there's a guide to guide you through it,
right?
And not you getting stuck in that trauma and pulling yourself out of it, you know, without processing.
So people try to do hypnosis by themselves.
Yes, one of my I have a story for you. Well, it's hypnosis, and all hypnosis is really self-hypnosis. It's just when you do it with a professional and a guide, you have a 99.9% chance of processing, healing, experiencing the healing, and coming back, versus I'm doing it by myself. I don't know what I'm doing. One of my clients, I'll tell you, he called me and he was so terrified. And he said, I need to come and do passive aggression with you. And I said, what are your intentions behind it? I always ask my clients, why do you want to do passive aggression versus hypnosis? Because when I know what my clients' needs are, then I can truly guide them. Is passive aggression what you really need, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then he tells me he's at the airport waiting for his flight that's delayed. And he puts his headphones on and he takes himself through a passive aggression recording from YouTube or whatever. Oh, well. Wow. While he was successful, he wasn't so successful. While he went into a past life, there's no one there to guide him. And he went into a lifetime that was not an easy lifetime. And he was terrified and he pulled himself out prematurely. And he was stuck with that energy, that memory, that visual, that feeling, that trauma. And he called me and he said, please save me from this. So he had to come in for us to rewrite what he experienced.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
He was like, I'll never do that again. I was like, yes, please don't.
I bet. I sure wouldn't do it either. That,
absolutely.
Like that.
It's not unless you're a professional that is, you know, I take myself through my passive aggressions. I can serve myself combo, right? I can do my own breath work. But when we're not trained to know what to do when we go into an emotional place, it's not dangerous. I wouldn't say dangerous. It's just, it can create some, you know, disturbance in your energy that it doesn't need to be there. So just, I would always tell my clients, we spend so much money on things that are irrelevant. Why? When it comes to ourselves, and that's a very big part of the healing I do with my clients, is the self-worth and the self-love that we'll spend on everyone and everything else. But when it comes to us, we're like, well, I shouldn't spend that money to go and get the healing. Well, I shouldn't spend that money to go and do this. And that's what gets us in trouble. And we try to do everything by ourselves. I even say healers need healers. I go to my people to help me, to support me, because we're not supposed to do it all by ourselves. Exactly.
Yeah. You hear that with therapists have therapists.
They're on therapists. So, absolutely. I have psychologists that come to me. Psychiatrists that come to me. Yeah.
The other thing that I got from that story with your two clients that are best friends and soulmates essentially was that you could see what was going on. What do you mean?
I love that question. I love how you catch these nuggets in between. Well, when you're although I don't like titles, when so many of my clients were like, you're so intuitive, like how can you tell? Because in doing this work in the past 16 years, one wonderful thing has happened for me is year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month, this beautiful center opens more and more and more. And the more that you trust, the more it opens, where you're able to, I'm able to with my clients, like so much of the time when my clients are in hypnosis, they're in their recliner cover with their eyes wearing their eye mask. I'm sitting right next to them doing sound bath. And because I'm in that close proximity to their energy, my eyes are closed because we don't want any of the distractions of the ego brain that sees and just kind of goes into analysis of, oh, the picture there or the word there. When my client's eyes close, my eyes close, and I go in to that intuitive collective consciousness place where I would give my clients a visual, or I would guide my clients a certain way. And then they come out and they're like, that is crazy. I was already there. How did you know?
I was just going to ask if you were leading, do you lead them, or is that, would, if somebody,
well, not leading, but guiding more so. Okay. Yeah. Not leading would be more so I'm telling them, but in guiding them, it opens up because I'm just going with my inner visuals, right? I'm taking them through the progressive, and then within that progressive comes messages, other visions, and other guidance, and other clarity. And so much of the time, even in past life regressions, I would feel my clients, like spirit loved ones, coming through. Mm. So there's just so many layers to it. It's so hard to explain. And so many of my clients, they go, well, how did you see? How did you know? Like, I would have clients, loved ones that crossed over, that they would show me a certain piece of, let's say, jewelry, right? And then this happened very recently with one of my clients. Her mom passed away 3 months ago. And in one of our hypnotherapy sessions, her mom showed me the specific necklace, and I described it to her, and she said, I don't know, I never saw her with any piece like that. And 3 weeks ago, she found that piece when she was going through her mom's stuff.
Oh,
and
gosh,
the same day, her aunt came over, and her aunt said, oh my God, you found it. Before your mom crossed over, she said, that piece was given to me by my mother-in-law, and it was meant to be for someone else, for her son's wife or something. And the mom said, no, this belongs to my daughter. But she never got the chance to give it to her daughter.
Oh, wow.
She crossed over, and her spirit showed me that, you know, she needs to wear this necklace. This is meant for her. And it was just beautiful. She literally sent me the picture, and she was like, oh my God, when you told me, I didn't believe it. But then she finds it a month later, and on the same day, her aunt comes over and confirms that her mom said, I'm not giving this piece to that person. This belongs to my daughter. So from spirit around, the mom was trying to tell her, that's for you. And my client found it, and now she wears it close to her heart. It was like a Mother Mary pendant. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure that that also brings her a lot of comfort and joy too.
Of course, of course.
Knowing that.
Yeah, it's like a piece of her mom's energy.
Yeah.
That she, yeah. So a lot of times it's just visions I get, internal visions, messages. And I always say we are all intuitive. We're all born intuitive. This is not a gift that, oh, I'm gifted. We're all gifted. And then I always remind my clients, the only difference is how much do we trust in our gifts?
Sure.
How much do we trust in ourselves? Because growing up, majority of us are told not to trust ourselves. Don't say that. Don't do that. That's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You need to shut up. You need
That's
to be
crazy
seen and
talk.
Not heard.
Yeah.
And exactly. Exactly. So we are raised to not trust ourselves. And so that trust leads to us not trusting our intuition.
Can I tell you something? I was early on in my journey, I was under the impression that you, okay, this is going to make me sound naive, but I'm going to say it. I was under the impression that you almost had to have a near-death experience to have all of these gifts open up, because the people that I met with that have these incredible gifts all had that common thread. Yeah, where they're like, well, you know, I was dead for 2.5 minutes and and I was like, okay, well, I want that, but I don't want to die to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
absolutely.
I hear that more and more about intuition. You don't have to die or nearly die in order for those gifts to open up, because we already have them. And you said remembering before. So one of my friends had written a book called Remembering Awake that mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. talking about remembering all of those gifts. Yeah, it's a fantastic book.
Absolutely.
And speaking of books, your two books, I wanted to maybe touch on those again, The Living Through mm-hmm. Choice and Wisdom Unbounded. Now, I understand that Living Through Choice is book number one, and then there's the follow-up, which is Wisdom Unbounded. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell everyone what they may expect to gain from reading your books?
Absolutely. But before I get into that, I want to roll back to what you just said about near-death experience. Mm-hmm. So I want to clear this up so people know that, no, that is not the only way. Any trauma can trigger for our third eye to open wide.
Mm.
So I don't even want to go into details, but the trauma doesn't even have to be severe, like being shot or being raped or any of that. Mm. It can be trauma from childhood, right? It can mm-hmm. be just anything can trigger for the third eye to open, because that part of us is the true essence of who we are: safe, secure, protected, wise, guided, supported, loved. And so that it kind of, any trauma in life leads you to your truth. It kind of kicks you back into your truth. So I wanted to, absolutely. Yeah. So it doesn't need to be near death experience, as I myself went through some couple of them when being born. Yeah. My heart was beating one beat per minute, my mother tells me, and they forced me into this world. I think my soul was like, oh, do I want to do this again?
I don't know.
But they forced me, and I was like, okay, I made the contract. Let's go do this again. Yeah, and then at 15 time. Years old, I almost died because my appendix burst, and I didn't want to go into surgery.
Oh, my mm-hmm. goodness.
At 30-some years old, I twice in my sleep, I literally was going towards the light. That tunnel that everybody speaks of, and spirit really said, not your time, you still have a lot to do. And I jolted awake, and I remember at that time I was still married, and my husband was like, are you okay? And I was like, I was going into the light and I was stopped. He's like, oh great, now you want to leave me?
Yes, I know better now. Yeah
Oh, so several times that I tried to exit, and over the years, I've done a lot of amazing work with psychedelic medicine, and I've had a lot of those moments, and I just, I now understand what it is. It's not a near-death so much. It was more so ego, transformation. I don't even like calling it ego death, but parts of our personality traits, stories, beliefs dying away. And it feels like parts of you are dying, because they truly are dying. And you kind of like can quickly or take a long time to process letting go of that version of you. For me now, it's like, let's go. Yep. Let's go. Let's catapult forward, because I'm not living my life at all in a way of, let's take 5 years to do this. When my clients come to me and they're like, well, I think we're going to, do this for the next 2 years for me to process the 20 years of trauma. I'm like, says who?
Right.
What if we could do it in 5 sessions? What if we could do it in 6 sessions? What if we could do it in 10? Who says that it has to take 10 years, right? It's what we tell ourselves. And I'm a believer of, come on, let's leap. Let's literally.
Well, that's also conventional therapy, though, too, right? Because it's almost designed to have that duration.
Yes, and because the more that you dwell on your problems, the longer it takes you, and the more help you would need. Up. And you, it's kind of like keeping you stuck. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. And it's interesting that you said that, which could be another conversation or podcast, by the way. But so let's talk about your books.
My books.
Yes, please.
It's like we're reading each other's minds at this point. Yes. So, my books are truly not only my journey, but my clients' journeys, because I do have examples of my clients' transformations within the book. But more so, the first book truly was my own awakening and realization that I do have a choice, because majority of my life, I was told you don't have a choice. And I was told by my own mother that God wrote this on your forehead and this is how it's going to be. And that's how it is. And I just thought, okay, I'm like a victim to my own life and everything is happening to me versus everything is happening for me. And I have control over that. So my first book was truly about that, of going from that fearful place of I'm limited, I don't have control, to that love place of, well, oh, wait a minute, I do have a choice. I do have control over my destiny, over my life. And that's basically the message behind the first book. And then the second book is the, oh, wait, all that wisdom that we seek outside of ourselves is already within us. So why am I constantly out there searching and seeking and chasing when all I have to do is just be and remember that I am infinite wisdom, that all of that wisdom, I mean, there's so much studies and research now happening where, you know, we know water has wisdom. We know the ice that has been there for thousands of years on this planet has information within it, and they could take slices and really find information within that ice that becomes water that holds the wisdom of that information from thousands of years ago. That's amazing. We're 70-80% water. So does that not now mean that we are wise being ourselves? Because so much of the time we've been told throughout our lives, oh, we're just human. No, we're spirit in the human experience. We're not human having a spiritual experience. And because of that, have we forgotten who we are, what we're about? Yes, we have forgotten because we were forced to forget, right? From systems to religious beliefs to whatever it may be. We've constantly been forced to not, again, trust ourselves. So the second book is really that. And it, for me, it was like even the journey through COVID and us being stuck at home, of me truly surviving that time by having the power of my inner world being childlike, playful, colorful. And I would literally travel in my sleep, in my wake state, while I was, you know, blessed. I was the busiest during COVID because everybody was awakening and going, oh my God, like, what do I do with this? Right. Like, I hate my life. I hate my relationship. I hate my, but what the hell? Because we were stuck to face.
Yeah.
Absolutely. To face what we weren't facing because, oh, I can just go to work and come home. I can tolerate my partner for an hour. I can tolerate my kids for an hour. I can tolerate. But now it was like, we're stuck together. We're either going to, you know, destroy each other, or we're going to whatever else the choice may be. So that was so busy. But at the same time, when I wasn't busy helping clients and being of service to them, I truly was within myself, because being a Gemini, I'm all about playful, childlike. I love, I'm like a hummingbird. I'm like here and there and everywhere. And I love travel, and that wasn't an option. And one of the ways that
animals,
truly
hummingbird, I love.
And my logo is the hummingbird.
Yes. I noticed that.
And so to me, even when I chose it, like, 15 plus years ago, I didn't even realize the meaning of it until I realized, oh my God, that's my spirit animal. That's how I am. That's how my energy runs. Exactly. Happy, playful, like moving around. I get bored easily if I'm doing the same thing, repetition, which is why I love what I do. And mind you, accounting is repetition. And my world now is all about every client brings a different, layer, a different.
No offense to any accountants out there.
I know my best friend is an accountant, and she loves it. It's you know, it's not for everybody, and it wasn't for me. I'm not a person behind a computer. I love this interaction. I love connecting.
Yeah,
I love hearing my client's stories. I love focusing on, okay, I hear your story, but what's beyond this? The focus of my sessions with my clients are never about we're dwelling on what didn't work. My focus is always, I hear the story. What's the solution? I hear the story. How do we shift this? I hear the story. How do we change this? And my books have that kind of message in there as well. And also one of the reasons why I wrote both my books was because so many people, and I know there's thousands of self-help books out there, but I just felt like I was yet another voice to help people, because also many of self-help books are just like, okay, do this exercise and that exercise. And my clients mm-hmm. will come to me and be like, okay, I'm so sick of doing these exercises. Nothing has changed. So truly the core of my books are the message of you need to put in the work, number one.
Right.
You need to give to yourself, number two. You need to value your healing, number three. And really, you need to tap into your subconscious to make these changes, because you can do all these exercises on a conscious level over and over and over and over and over. And really, nothing will change until you tap into your hard drive, because no computer's information changes if you don't change it from the hard drive. You can delete all the desktop stuff, which is what people are usually doing. And then the moment that trigger comes, they are triggered again. Their inner child is triggered again. And they go to spiral into the dark hole. Why? Because subconsciously that inner child is not healed. Yeah, consciously you're like, okay, I'm good, I'm great, you know, let's manifest all this. But that's just like putting a cake on top of trash, right? Exactly.
Yeah. So again, I have so many other questions and comments and thoughts on some of the things you said, but we are limited on time. So we need to get to the musical questions. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So this is the part of the show when I get a chance to ask the guests some musical questions. And I truly believe that music is the tie that binds. And each of us has a soundtrack that accompanies our life, if you just take a moment to think about it. So are you ready?
I am.
Okay. So what was the first song that you fell in love with from the radio?
From the radio. Well, funny enough, I was not born and raised in this country, so we didn't really listen to radio. It was all
tracks or E-track.
My dad had those, and because I was born and raised in a communist country, so all of that stuff my dad had to bring from Iran, and he was a big fan. And so one of the songs that I've always loved, and the singer I think is Jay Leno. If I'm not Jay Leno, oh my goodness. What's now I'm drawing a blank. Imagine.
Oh, John Lennon.
John Lennon. Thank you. I always go Jay Leno. I'm like, no, Jay Leno is the funny guy.
yeah. The Tonight Show. Yeah.
John Lennon. Imagine. Because to me, those lyrics, and the other day, I don't know where I was randomly, that song started playing and I was like, oh my God. Like, this is the message. This is the message. It was true then, and it is true now, of us truly like imagining a world where there's more peace, where there's more freedom, where there's more joy, where humanity understands that everything we're creating, it's first self-destructive if we're creating negativity. And if we create love, then we spread that love. So do we not deserve that love to create it within ourselves so we can create it in the world around us? So
absolutely. So some of these questions may not be relevant for you, like the road trip, or would there be an 8-track or something in the vehicle that you were driving?
Oh, we would listen to Michael Jackson. We would listen to Bee Gees. And we wouldn't even understand the lyrics because we didn't speak English. We weren't studying English.
Yeah, but I think it's about the melody and the frequency and the beats and everything that you start going. So did you sing along with them as well?
Well, we tried, but not English words, but whatever we could hear. But Staying Alive was one of my favorites, and it still is.
For real? That's awesome. I love that.
And my kids, what I love is my kids, who are now 18 and 20, like, I raised them with genres from all across the board. They love Frank Sinatra as much as they love Bee Gees. And Bill Withers and the Beatles. And
so you know Bill Withers
and Michael Jackson, of course. I love that's why even me, like, I can listen to current songs that are very meaningful, and I can go back, and even last night I was driving and I listened to a 70s song and then I changed back to Bocelli.
Excellent.
My world is very expansive, and there's a lot of different genres that I love. And I was even having that conversation with my daughter. I said, lyrics are important, But what my energy connects with is the melody.
Yes.
Because the melody, the vibrations, of course, as we know, vibrations heal us, sound bowls heal us, sound bath, you know, as you know, heals us, our energy. So my body, number one response, not to the lyrics, but to the melody of the song.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to skip along to a couple of other questions and then we'll wrap it up because of our time. Is there a song that gets your positive juices flowing
right now?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. What oh my it? Goodness. This is from one of my amazing facilitators, Tony Moss, and he has two beautiful songs that I love to my core. One of them is called Joy and the other one is called Grateful. Oh, those are songs when I listen to, I listen to it in my car all the time. It's like on repeat, especially if like it's moody outside, it's cloudy because we're in LA. We're so used to the sunshine
right.
And I put those songs and or Happy Day. Like these are the songs that I listen to because we also need to be extremely, I don't want to say careful, but open to recognizing that what we listen to, what is in the background from television to what we listen to, you know, lyrically, music, as there's research that shows what aggravates a cancer cell and what truly shrinks a cancer cell, like classical music and words and messages from a song that are joyful and happy and filled with love. All of those shrink a cancer cell. And
then while
other music, exactly.
And that's what I tell people, that nutrition is more than just what you eat. It's what you, well, because you're talking about consuming things, right? So if you consume negativity on television or through music or from what you read, you know, don't be surprised if you're a negative Nelly.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I mean, why do we pray around the table before we eat, right? We say gratitude to the food. You're actually putting love into the food and it becomes like soul food.
Correct.
It's not only prepared with love, it's eaten with love.
Yes. Yeah. With intention.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so this happens to be, I hate to say, my favorite question, because I made them all up. It's like, no, that's my favorite kid. You know, it's not, but this is. So sometimes there are songs that you hear that ring so true that they can stop you in your tracks. And the song's lyrics sound like they were written specifically for you or by you. What's that song?
Oh, goodness. Written for me or by me, I would honestly stick to the songs that I told you because it's where I am in my life, just joyful and grateful for life. And every day truly. So it is the combination of the songs.
Why did I know that? Why did I know that?
It's the combination of the songs that, you know, a reminder that, you know, can we imagine a bigger, brighter, more beautiful, loving life future? And can we just, you know, every day live life being joyful and grateful for everything. Like every morning I wake up and I see the light out and I say, thank you. Thank you, universe. Thank you, God, that I woke up to a peaceful morning, which a lot of people don't have right now.
No, you're 100% right. And it is a fantastic practice to adhere to and to really have in your day.
Yeah.
You know, to do it.
It's very true.
I try to bookend it, doing it in the morning and in the evening and, you know, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So one thing that I want to do before I close this out here is I know that some of the things that you've mentioned are in person. Do you do these virtually? Do you do them via Zoom too? The same effectiveness and everything else?
Absolutely. More so that journey started from COVID. And now with my clients who are in LA, that 2-minute drive didn't last you 45 minutes to get there. Yes. Some of my clients, I mean, I have clients globally. Obviously, they can't be here. I have clients in Hong Kong. I have clients in Vienna. So with them, obviously, we do Zoom, and with my LA clients who don't feel like they want to be in traffic or fighting with
for
the people on their
miles. Yeah. I get it.
So
okay,
nothing
good.
Changes. Yeah. We do the talk part together. Okay. We do the hypnotherapy. We can do breath work. We can, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I was making the assumption that that was the case, but I wanted to make sure that everybody else knew that. So I'm glad
because energy does. I mean, with my clients, even in different countries where we're thousands of miles away, I would do a hypnotherapy session and they would come out and tell me, oh, I felt this. How did you notice that? How did you bring my attention to my solar plexus? I was feeling so much energy there. Mm-hmm. Because energy does not have limitations, right? Which is why when we say even with Reiki doing energy distance healing, we all have the power to do that. You just need to direct your intention to it, direct your attention to it. Where your attention goes, energy flows, right?
That's right. That's right.
It's just, it's a fact. We can't fight it. We can believe it or not, but it's still true.
That is true. That's very accurate. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your answers and your openness and willingness to describe what it is that you do, who you are. And I do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jim, for having me. I love this.
I'd love to have you on again. Believe
me. Absolutely. Anytime.
Excellent. Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I would also like to take a moment to thank everyone for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I would also like to thank our special guest, Christine Ovsepian, for being on the show today. And you can get in touch with Christine by going to her website, which happens to be www.journeys, that's JourneysToHeal.com. So that's JourneysToHeal.com. Or do you have social media platforms as well that people can reach out?
Mm-hmm.
So
Instagram.
I will make sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. I'll make sure to include those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I invite you all to head on over to our show notes where there's going to be a link to the playlist from today's episode. There's also going to be the link to contact Christine to book a session, and I'll put her social media links on there as well. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of our show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at pluralsight.com and see for yourself.